Axel. So, Shavuot Tov, everyone. Just Birshut Rav Orlian. And thank you to the Rabbi Azarovsky for inviting me to give the shir. I believe you've been organizing this for many years, Rav Eli, Yishar Koach. And to the Sagir family, just for hosting this wonderful evening of learning. My name is Doron Perez. Our family and I moved to Yad Binyamin almost exactly 2 months ago. We made return to Israel after 15 years in South Africa. And we were so honored and privileged to be able to return to Yad Binyamin. We'd heard so much about this wonderful town, and we feel very privileged to be here. And it's been a wonderful, really, 2 months, and it's amazing to be part of such an amazing kahila. And again, Birshut Rav Orlian. Rav Eli said, I've got until 1 o'clock. We're going to do a special... A special slichot at 1. No, I'm joking. Just, I believe, till about 11:30, about 25 minutes. So I want to deal with today what I believe is one of the major kushiyot to understand what Rosh Hashanah is all about. And really, this whole shiur is aimed at how Rabbeinu Tam, one of the great Balei HaTosfot, answer this question. It's a massive question. Anyone who's learned Masechet Rosh Hashanah will know that there is a tremendous debate about whether indeed the world was created in Rosh Hashanah. And it's bothered me for a very long time, and I've tried to study this question, and it's one of those things which there's no clear-cut answers to it. But I do want to raise the question and share Rabbeinu Tam's insight. It's a Tosfot in Masechet Rosh Hashanah Daf Kaf Zayin, and I think the way Rabbeinu Tam answers this question, I think, has given me a tremendously different and new perspective on Rosh Hashanah, and changed the way I view the day and what I believe Avodat Hayom is all about. So, the first thing which is very strange, as we all know, is that it's unusual that it should be debated whether the world was created in Rosh Hashanah. It seems so obvious. We've grown up of Girsa the Yankut as young children, and we all almost know by osmosis the world was created in Rosh Hashanah, nachon? Whether it's Kafhei Be'elul, the world was created according to the Midrash, and Adam HaRishon created on Aleph Tishrei, but we all know, and it seems to reflect in two places in the Davening, that the world was created in Rosh Hashanah. What I found so disturbing, and I learned this Masechet, is that firstly it's a tremendous debate. And it's a debate that there's only the opinion Rabbi Eliezer, who says that the world is created in Rosh Hashanah, which seems to reflect the custom of the davening, reflecting that on Rosh Hashanah, that the world is created on Aleph Tishrei, is an opinion that we generally don't paskin halacha. We almost never paskin like Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus. He had tremendously alternate views on many different things, and almost without exception, when there's a debate between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, we paskin like Rabbi Yeshua. So please look at source number one. In source number one, we see Masechet Rosh Hashanah. It's in the bottom of Daf Yud Amud Bet and also in Daf Yud Aleph. I'm not going to go through it's a lengthy brighter of all the different proofs, but just for the purpose of this shiur, Rabbi Eliezer Omer B'Tishrei Nivra Olam. Rabbi Eliezer says that the world was created in Tishrei, and there's a whole bunch of other milestones in Jewish history we're trying to attribute to whether it happened in Tishrei or Nisan. And if you go down a few lines, Rabbi Yoshua Omer, just what I've underlined, B'Nisan Nivra Olam. And Rabbi Yoshua says that the world was created in Nisan. And undoubtedly, we don't have time to go into the Machloket and the Brighter, but it's clear that without doubt, the two most important months in the Jewish calendar are Nisan and Tishrei, without doubt. And almost everything comes down to these 2 months. And if we go through all the different milestones in world and Jewish history, it's either attributed, either happened in Nisan or Tishrei. So undoubtedly, these are the two most important months. And it's not by chance that these 2 months form the beginning of two different calendars. We don't have time to go into this as well, but we all know it's only the Jewish people could have thought of this outrageous taina that we've got two different calendars which don't begin at the same time. Only a Jew could have thought of, you say, when does your year begin? You say, oh, in Aleph Tishrei. So that means the first month of the year is Tishrei. No. The first month of the year is in Nisan. So what begins in Nisan? No. That's the beginning of the calendar year of months. Oh, so the year begins in Nisan. No, it begins in Tishrei. What are you talking about, right? None of Jewish people could have thought that the year of the month, the Rosh Hashanah of Shanim, of years, begins in Aleph Tishrei. Sorry? Must be a tax loophole, absolutely. Only you could have thought of that as well. Okay, so it's a shaila, right? It's a shaila. But undoubtedly, these are the two most important months. And as it says in Shmot Yud Bet, as we all know, it says that Rosh, that Achodesh HaZeh Lachem Rosh Chodashim, Rishon hu lachem lechodshei hashana, that Nisan is Rishon hu lachem lechodshei hashana, that the months of the year have their own calendar. That's Rosh Chodesh, and the months of the year begin with Nisan, yet the years, not of months, begin in Tishrei. It's a very unusual thing which requires more discussion, not for now, but one thing is clear. The point I wanted to make is that the two primary months of the year are either Nisan, the first month for the Jewish people when they came out of Egypt, or Tishrei, as we know. And this debate is reflected by Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yoshua. Now, problem number one is, firstly, this whole concept of the world being created in Rosh Hashanah is already a debate. Rabbi Yoshua would totally disagree with it and say the world is not created on Rosh Hashanah or in Tishrei Bichlal. It's all in Nisan. We've got the months wrong. So is this whole idea of Rosh Hashanah being the creation, is it only based on one opinion in the Gemara, which really makes me nervous because we generally don't paskin like Rabbi Eliezer, and made me wonder, is this whole idea of the creation that we got something wrong, perhaps? So question number one is, Rosh Hashanah reflecting the creation of the world seems to only follow Rabbi, not seems, it only follows Rabbi Eliezer and not Rabbi Yehoshua. Secondly, as I said, generally, if there's a debate between Rabbi Yehoshua and Rabbi Eliezer, we almost without exception paskin like Rabbi Yehoshua. Rabbi Yehoshua we paskin like. So it would seem that we would paskin like Rabbi Yehoshua against Rabbi Eliezer, and there are the Gemara in Masechet Rosh Hashanah Chet, and Rashi there seems to implant, and Tosfot in many places, that's how we seem to paskin. And one very, very strong proof, accepted by most of the Rishonim, not all the Rishonim, but a very strong proof to show that we actually rule like Rabbi Yehoshua, is the well-known, it's called the Tkufa, but let's explain it in a halakha we all know. This to me seems like a very convincing halakha that we paskin like Rabbi Yehoshua. There's something we do, we all, I'm sure everyone did in Yad Binyamin as well, I think it was in 2009. What happens every 28 years? We say a very special bracha. I don't know, Rav Olin, is there another bracha we only make every 28 years as part of the cycle? It's an unusual thing. What am I referring to, of course? Birkata. Chaman. Why do we do it then? It's called the Tkufa, because that's when we believe on the fourth day of creation, when the sun was created, that it is in the exact same place it was at the time of creation every 28 years. And when, of course, did that happen? Did we do that in Nisan or in Tishrei? In Nisan. We did it on Dalet Nisan. So it's unusual that we paskin. You can see it in source number 3. Haro'eh chama b'tkufata, says the Shulchan Aruch, if you see the sun, it's tkufa, in the very place that it was at the time of creation. V'hu mikafchet lakafchet, and it's every 28 years. V'atkufa b'tchilat lel dalet, and it's on the night of the fourth. And when you see it in the morning, you say Baruch she'oseh maserat the bracha. So if you look at source number 4, the Mishnah Berurah, what's b'tkufata? Just go to the back of the next page. There we see, when is it? V'atkufa. Says the Mishnah Berurah Tkufa, what is it? Hainu Tkufat Nisan. It's in the time of Nisan, and nobody paskins otherwise. It's actually an explicit Gemara in Daf Yud Bet. It's a bright, and also in Masechet Rosh Hashanah. And there we paskin, of course, like Rabbi Yehoshua. So clearly, when it comes to the Tkufa, i.e., the time of creation, when the sun was at the, we believe at the time of creation, we clearly follow Rabbi Yehoshua. Now, it's very hard to say, even though the Ran does say it, and certainly Shonim do, but it's very hard to say that this isn't a very strong proof to show that we tachlis practically believe the world was created in Rosh Hashanah, the world is created in Nisan. To me, this is a very convincing proof. Most Rishonim accept it, not all Rishonim, but it's very difficult to my mind to say that we can paskin la halacha that the sun is at the time of creation, is at the fourth day of creation on Dalet Nisan, and at the same time say that the world was created on Rosh Hashanah. There are Rishonim who say that, but it's difficult, as I say, it's difficult to accept. So it seems, if I summarize until now, it seems that this custom that we have in the davening of saying that the world was created on Rosh Hashanah is very unusual. Firstly, it seems to only follow Rabbi Eliezer, number one. Number two, so it's really a machloket. Number two, we don't paskin like Rabbi Eliezer. And number three, it seems that practically, when it comes to Birkat HaChama, we practically paskin like Rabbi Yehoshua. And if when I learned these sources, it really unsettled me. So what is the davening of Rosh Hashanah all about? Now, there's only two problems in the davening of Rosh Hashanah. Where are the two places that we say that seem to imply that the world is created in Rosh Hashanah? The first one is source number two. This is known as the Tkiata Derav, it's the Zichronot. The Malchiyot Zichronot Shofarot were written, these by Rav, the great Amora. And I'm just reading from the Zichronot. We say, Hayom Tchilat Ma'asecha Zichron Liyom Rishon. It seems, as part of the beginning of the Zichronot, we say, Zeh Hayom Tchilat Ma'asecha. Today is the beginning of your actions, Zikaron Le Yom HaRishon, where we remember the first day, which seems to imply the day of creation. So it seems in the davening that we're following the opinion that the world is created in Rosh Hashanah. And if you go also to source number 6, we'll see there also, what do we say after the shofar blowing? We all know it, Hayom Harat Olam, Hayom Yamid Bamishpat. Today is the birthday of the world. Today all the creatures of the world stand in judgment. So it seems, that in the davening of Rosh Hashanah, we say we're following the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer, the world is created in Rosh Hashanah. But we've shown, for all the reasons we said, that it seems that the world is not created in Rosh Hashanah. Now, if one wanted to go into an Iyun Sugya, there are so many Rishonim which say different things over here. It is a very, very difficult to understand exactly how this works. But I want to follow the opinion of Rabbeinu Tam. So if you look at source number 5, just before we go into Rabbeinu Tam, I just want to say Rabbeinu Tam, I actually didn't bring it in the source, but if one goes to Masechet Rosh Hashanah Daf Kaf Zayin in the Tosfot says as follows. He says, Rabbi Elazar HaKalir, we all know the great poet, Rabbi Elazar HaKalir, who so many of the kinot and our poems that we know were done by him, this great genius poet of the time of the Rishonim. He dafka, when it comes to Geshem, Tfilata Geshem, right, that we say on Sukkot, he says as part of his poems that B'tishrei Nivra Olam, he says the world was created in, so you don't have this, what I'm reading now, it's in the Gemara, it comes just before this Rabbeinu Tam, I'm sorry, I didn't bring the whole of Tosfot. So, look at the stira, look at the contradiction. When Rabbi Elazar HaKalir writes this, the Tfilat HaGeshem, he writes over there as part of our supplication to Hashem that it should rain, because rain was created, Hashem created the world when? In Tishrei. And then says the Tosfot, he says, but Rabbi Elazar HaKalir says, that's on Shmini Atzeret, but then he says, Ubashel Pesach, but when he wrote his poems of Pesach, he said, Karabi Yoshua, he writes in Tfilat HaTal, on that we say in Pesach, he says that the world was created in Nisan. So meaning when Rabbi Elazar is writing these poems to evoke Hashem's, the Tfilot of Jew, he refers to the fact that the world was created in Nisan, and therefore in Nisan we've been praying for Jew, because water and rain and the world was created in Nisan. And then he does exactly the opposite when it comes to Tishrei, and he says that the world is created in Tishrei when it comes to Shmini Atzeret prayer. So Rabbeinu Tam is trying to work out, we've got a stira, we've got a contradiction. Was the world created in Nisan, or was the world created in Tishrei? And how is it Rabbi Elazar HaKalir, how can he take the two opposites, right, and say the world is created in Nisan and the world is created in Tishrei? How can Rabbi Elazar HaKalir in his tefillot imply that the world is created in both? It can only be one or the other. Sorry?
That's called hedging.
That's called hedging. So here we've got all the financial terminology and metaphors to explain this. So it seems like he's hedging. Okay. So on this issue of hedging, Rabbeinu Tam also hedges, but he's got a beautiful perush, which when I learnt it, it made a big difference to my understanding of Rosh Hashanah, and I think it explains a lot of the customs in Minagim and Rosh Hashanah. Omer Rabbeinu Tam, please look at source number 5. Here we come to the crux. If it's all been a bit complicated, now don't worry, here we come to the crux, and it's this particular insight of Rabbeinu Tam that I want to try and explain in the time that we have. Omer Rabbeinu Tam says, typical rabbinic fashion, De'elu ve'elu divrei Elokim. They're both right. Typical rabbinic trick, we all know that one. I'm sure you've all... Everybody knows, I'm sure, the joke. I don't know what jokes you know in Yad Binyamin, but I'm saying I know that this joke, everybody, we're told often in South Africa about a person who comes to the rabbi, and if you've heard it, forgive me, but it explains exactly what rabbinic melocha is all about. Person comes to the rabbi and tells the rabbi how somebody stole money from him, and that the person is a gunner and everything, and the rabbi listens to everything which is said, and he says to me, I've heard everything you've said, you're 100% right. And then the person who the guy accused of being the gunner comes and tells him the entire story. He says, it's not true, Rebbe, I didn't steal anything. And he gives him a whole half an hour soliloquy on how it's not true that he stole, and the person says, you know what, you're 100% right, I've heard everything you've said. And of course as we know, a third chochem hears the two presenting their case and says, Rebbe, they both just said in front of you opposite things. You said he's right, you said he's right. They can't both be right, they said exactly the opposite, they can't both be right. And what does the Rebbe say? You know what, you're right as well. So that's rabbinic. Eilu ve'elu, everybody's right. Everybody's right. Eilu ve'elu, divrei Elokim chayim. So says Rabbeinu Tam, they're both right. And obviously the question is, how can they both be right? How can the world be created both in Nisan and Tishrei? How can Rabbi Elazar HaKalir, the great poet, write about supplications both on Nisan, that the world's created in both Tishrei? Yeah? Are you going to say something? Are you sure? Okay, so here's the answer. simple, but to the point. V'ikele meimar, we can say, de'betishrei ala b'machshava librot or libarot. On Tishrei, it arose in the thought of Hashem, the idea of a world came into being. V'lo nivra ad nisan, but it was actually created in reality in nisan. Listen to this chiddush. I have to say, this chiddush doesn't explain everything. There are certain midrashim where this chiddush doesn't explain. That's why no rishon manages to answer it in a way that is absolutely convincing. But to me, it's convincing in many ways. So what does he say? Here's the chiddush. He says they're both right. That's why Rabbi Elazar clearly wrote them both. Right, that it can be created in both. And that's why we accept both of them. In what way was the world created in Rosh Hashanah? It was created in thought. The world did not actually come into being on Rosh Hashanah. The concept, the idea of a world came into being on Rosh Hashanah. When was the world actually created in reality? In Nisan. Now this little axiom here, this little answer to my mind explains so much. First, it explains why so much of Rosh Hashanah is not about action. If you think about it, Nisan, if you go to Shulchan Aruch, most of the halachot in Moed are in Nisan. Preparing for Pesach, Biur Chametz, halachot of matzah. If you look in the if you open a Mishnah Berurah, if you open the Shulchan Aruch in Nisan and Tishrei, Rosh Hashanah takes up almost nothing. There's almost no halacha in Rosh Hashanah. Significantly more in Yom Kippur and a lot in Sukkot. But more than all of those together is Nisan. There are so many detailed halachot in Chodesh Nisan. It's the month of action, right? If you go to Rosh Hashanah, there's almost nothing. And what I find amazing in Rosh Hashanah, and I want to show that this to my mind explains what Rosh Hashanah is about. It's a time of thought. Where I'm going with this, based on Rabbeinu Tam, is I want to show that what Rosh Hashanah is really all about. It's not when the world came into being in practice. It's when the world came into being in thought. And what we're tapping into in Rosh Hashanah is exactly that. Rosh Hashanah. We're tapping into thought process. We're tapping into everything to do with rethinking our concept of ourselves in the world. Rosh Hashanah, more than any other chag, is not a time of action. It's a time of thought. And I want to show that this goes to the essence of Rosh Hashanah. What mitzvahs are there in Rosh Hashanah? There's only one mitzvah, the most inactive mitzvah of all, which is the shofar. Right? The only mitzvah that we have in Rosh Hashanah do, right, is the shofar. And the only person who's got to do any effort over here is the Baal Tukah. He's got to learn all the halachot and the Baal Makri, yes. And the rest of us, what do? We sit back and we listen. Lishmoa kol shofar. What is the malocha of the day? Not litko, as we know, some rishonim say, but halocha lishmoa. What we have to do is sit back and listen. Meaning, even when we have to do an action, is that action? To listen. Is it just listening? What is listening? Shema, there's no word like Shema. Rabbi Sacks says in the parish of the Siddur, of the Machzor, he says there's no English word like. He's the closest is Hearken. The word Lishma means lots of, it means to listen, to hear, to understand, to internalize, and to do. The only English word which comes close is Hearken, and it's nowhere close. The word Lishma means to listen, to think, to internalize, and it'll lead to action. Vayayim Shema Tishavu often means listen in order to do. This day is about listening in order to do. It's not a day of action. It's a day of hearing, thinking, understanding, changing our mindset, which will therefore lead in the rest of our search and make sure to action. That's, by the way, why the day is called Rosh Hashanah. It's very strange. It's actually the wrong word for the creation of the world. If I was picking a biblical term to say what this chag should be, even if you want to say it's the beginning, let's say we say this is the year, this is the beginning of the year. The term we should choose is not Rosh Hashanah, but Reshit Hashanah. How does the Torah start? Bereshit. Reshit is the beginning, in the beginning, the beginning. And later on, in the book of Dvarim, where we want to say, when we talk about Mireshit Hashanah v'Achrita, we know the Gemara Masechet Rosh Hashanah says, we know the concept of judgment from Pasuk, which says in Dvarim, Mireshit Hashanah, Einei Hashem Elokecha Doresh Ota, Mireshit Hashanah v'Achrita Hashanah. The word where we learn the judgment from is Reshit. This chag should be called Reshit Hashanah. And many Rishonim and Achronim asked, why is it called Rosh Hashanah? And I would say it seems to imply that it's not about beginning, chronological beginning. It's about Rosh. It's about the head of the year. There's something about this which is the head of the year. Something about this dictates what happens in the rest of the year. It's not just the beginning chronologically, it's the head of the year. And I want to show and say that this has got something to do with the head. The most important part of the year. Just like the head is the most important part of the body. It's not the beginning of the body. Our body doesn't begin with our head. Our head is the most important part of the body. The neshama sits in the chemicals of the head. a person, the head's by far the most important part. We can do heart transplants today. We can't yet do a head transplant, and if we can, we'll probably transfer one person to another, because the neshama and the thought process all sits there. When you try to do a heart transplant, the neshama hasn't changed bodies. With the head, it hasn't, and we can't yet do a head transplant. The head is the most important part of the year, and I want to show that that's what Rosh Hashanah is about. It's not about beginning. It's about the head. What is the head? It's about thought. It's about rethinking our year, and that's why I believe there's no mitzvot in Rosh Hashanah. It's not a time of action. It's a time of thought. It's a time to lishmua kol shofar, to awaken internally, to mitorer, to rethink our concept of ourselves and the world. And that's why it explains another thing, which I'm sure everybody is familiar with. We're going to start this evening in just under an hour. We're going to start with Slichot. We're now going to get into Rosh Hashanah mode. The Sfarim have already, as we know, are into it for 3.5 weeks. We're going to get into it from tonight. And tonight, what are we going to start doing? As we all know, we're going to start clapping. We're going to start saying Yud Gimel Midot, arousing Hashem's mercy, and we're going to start doing Teshuvah. We're going to start clapping. And I think all of us know the most unusual anomaly, that when it comes to Rosh Hashanah, what do? We stop. Not once do we say Hashem, we're sorry. And I'm sure we all know not once do we ask for forgiveness in Rosh Hashanah. And not once do we even mention the word chet. Maybe once we say, avinu malkeinu chatanu lefanecha, some say it, some don't. And I think we're all familiar with the fact that sins that we have done, we all of a sudden take a break, a furlough for 2 days, we don't say a word about them. Isn't it strange that the whole theme of this period is teshuvah, asking Hashem for doing vidui, except what do? We come to Rosh Hashanah, not a word. And I believe the answer is because this is not a time of teshuvah, for actions we have done. In fact, I believe it gets in the way. If we're too focused on action in Rosh Hashanah, we stop differentiating the wood from the trees. I'll just maybe give a moshul to this, is that there was a book written many years ago by a guy who's a well-known sort of, what's the right word, motivational writer, speaker. It's a brilliant book called, I'm sure many of you have heard of it, it's called 7 Habits for Highly Effective People by Stephen Covey. It's a brilliant book, really a good book. And in this book, he's got this beautiful mashal where he says, what's the difference between a leader and a manager? What's the difference between a person who leads their life and manages their life? And he has this mashal. He says a manager is he gives a mashal regarding lumberjacks cutting down fields, forests. He says a manager is a person who manages thousands of people cutting wood in the tree. And he says, you cut there, you cut there, you climb that tree, you get down from there. Manages everybody perfectly. Who is a leader? He said a leader is a person sitting on a ladder very high up above the forest and says, you know what, Chevra, we're actually cutting in the wrong forest. We should be cutting over there. A leader is a person who can tell the difference between the wood from the trees. A manager manages within their paradigm. A leader steps above the paradigm and says, forget about what we're doing right now. What should we be doing? Where should we be cutting? And Rosh Hashanah is about Rosh. It's about leading our lives. Not about what we have or haven't done. We've got all of us here to worry about that. It's about, are we doing certain things in thought? Is our concept of ourselves and our general guidance of our life, is it taking us down the right path or the wrong path? And sometimes if you keep doing al-chet, you get lost in the detail. Forget about the al-chet, you'll come back to them. Step outside the al-chet and look at how you view yourself in the world. Look at your general behavioral patterns. Look at your thought process. And in this, you will see where you should be going. And therefore, Rosh Hashanah to me is about lishma kol shofar. It's about to wake up and step out of all the details of our lives and try to see, are we happy with where our life has taken us in the last year? Is there anything we could be doing which will change everything about our lives, the direction of our lives, and where we should be going? That is the difference between the two. You know, we'd celebrated last year, 2 years ago, the 100th anniversary of the very famous, the most famous boat in history. I think it's the Titanic, right? Maybe the Mayflower for Americans, but I don't know. But the Titanic, right? And the Titanic, we all know what happened to the Titanic. And I heard a beautiful expression from a writer who said, many of us spend our lives redecorating the deck chairs in the Titanic. Like, we worry about all the details, where there are thousands of details, but sometimes we've got to stop worrying about the details. Just say, are we heading the right direction? Are we heading for an iceberg? Are the decisions we're making in our life? We might get 99% of our decisions right, but that 1% is anybody actually watching where you're going? Rosh Hashanah, watch where you're going in your life. Because if you carry on doing things, you know, Einstein's got this beautiful comment, always like saying, where he says, what's the definition of a fool? He says, a person who does the same thing they did yesterday, but expects a different result tomorrow. So we often live our lives foolishly. We keep doing the same thing we did, and then you're surprised at what happened. But that's what you've been doing all the time. The purpose of Rosh Hashanah is to try and rethink what we should be doing with our lives. Not this detail or that detail. We've got the whole year for the Titanic, the whole of Yom Kippur's, clap, 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 hundreds and hundreds of times. Oh, do I say it, you made sure? Yes. That only works once you've got your thought process right. Maybe you can get rid of a lot of those mistakes by actually rethinking what you should be doing with your life. Sometimes a decision changes many different things about your life, but that's a directional decision, and that begins sof maaseh b'machshavat tchila, begins in thought. And I think that's the depth of what Rabbeinu Tam is saying. We've got to rethink our lives, recalibrate our lives, like the GPS, right? They say, why is that joke? I don't know again what jokes people know in Yad Binyamin or not, but why is it that when a man's wife talks to him about directions, he doesn't listen to a word and fights with her, and this soothing voice comes over in the GPS and tells him what to do, and he listens to everything she says, right? Why is that? So I think there are three reasons. Firstly, she talks softly. Secondly, when he makes a mistake, she doesn't say, you idiot, you think you know where you're going. She says, no problem, recalibrate, just relook at it, right? And thirdly, when he gets there, she says, well done. So I think if my wife talked to us like that, it would actually be very good. But what's the point I'm trying to make is that when you miss a turn, right, what do you do? Just recalibrate. What does the GPS do for us, because it's got satellite vision? It just simply relooks at what we've done and directs us a different way. Our life, Rosh Hashanah, is recalibration time. It's a time to relook and recalibrate where we're going, to change the mental mind maps that we have. That's what we need to do. And that's why I believe there's very little to do on Rosh Hashanah other than listen to those kolot, which are there to arouse us to listen, hear, think, understand, internalize, and therefore, Vayayim Tishma, we can change our actions. And that's why I believe we can now go back to the davening. Two final points I want to make. There's a lot more to say, but two final points. If you look at source number 6, after I learned this Rabbeinu Tam, I then started rethinking the davening. Hayom Harat Olam. What does that mean? Does that mean today is the birth of the world? What does Harat mean? Today the world was conceived. Today the world came into being in conception. A child is born 9 months later. Before that's conceived microscopically. Today is not the time of creation, if I follow Rabbeinu. It's the time that the world was conceived in thought. It's the time that the world came to being, so to speak, in Hashem's thought process. And if Hayom Harat Olam, we can expand according to Rabbeinu Tam, Hayom Harat Olam, today the world came into being in thought. It's a time of rethinking, because rethinking does everything. And maybe we can explain the same in source number 2. What does it mean in Tkiyat HaDarav, in the Zichronot Mira, in source number 2, where we say, Zeh Hayom Tchilat Ma'asecha Zikaron L'Yom Rishon? We can perhaps say, based on what we say in Lachadodi, we say, Sof Ma'aseh B'machshava Tchila. Hayom, we say, Tchilat Ma'asecha, today is the beginning of action. What is the beginning of action? Perhaps thought. Every action, every meaningful action begins in thought. Today is the beginning of action, which begins with machshava. That's a little bit dachuk to say it here, but it does work with Hayom Harat Olam. But again, I'm explaining Rabbeinu Tam, and I think to my mind, that's the only not absolutely clear slam dunk, but the rest of the things are slam dunk. Okay, let me just finish off and say like this, there was a man, his name was William James. He was one of the greatest philosophers of modern day America, psychologist, often quoted by Rav Soloveitchik. And I once heard a tape of a psychologist who was quoting William James. And he said in an interview, William James was asked by the interviewer, can you summarize? You've been analyzing the human mind for 50 years. Can you summarize the greatest insight you have into the human condition? You've lifted the lid off human beings for over 50 years. What can you tell me? So William James said to him as follows. He says, in 50 years of psychology, he says, the most salient, pertinent insight I have into the human condition is this. And here's the line. He says, people by and large become what they think of themselves. I have found that people's thought process of themselves and their place in the world, by and large, is the greatest prophetic dictator, so to speak, right, of what will happen to them in their life. You want to see what will happen to a person? Ask them what they think will happen to them. Ask them how they view themselves and their place in the world. And out of their concept of themselves in the world is what actually happens to them. And I found a beautiful quote. It's a beautiful, beautiful book. It's about a 50-page book written by James Allen. He's an author called As a Man Thinketh. Actually, here's source number 7. This quote comes from his book, As a Man Thinketh. It actually comes from Mishlei. You can see it in source number 8. I'm not going to read it. We don't have time. But I just want to read to you what James Allen says in this book. It's a beautiful, beautiful book. It's about 40, 50 pages. It's beautiful. He says like this. Man is made or unmade by himself. In the armory of thought, he forges the weapons by which he destroys himself. He also fashions the tools with which he builds for himself heavenly mansions of joy and strength and peace. By the right choice and true application of thought, man ascends to the divine perfection. By the abuse of thought and wrong application of thought, he descends below the level of the beast. And listen to this last line. Between these two extremes, that must be a sign for me to finish, okay? Look at the last line. Between these two extremes are all grades of character, and man is their maker and their master. The whole book is about as a man thinketh. It is brilliant. He says how a person thinks is what will be. And I just have to say, and really I end with this, is that the source of all klalot. What is the source of all klalot? I mean, you do have it here. I just don't have time to read the whole thing. But look at the last source. Look at the go-to source number 9. We just had Parashat Ki Tavo, the greatest collection of klalot, Parashat Ki Tavo. And amazingly, there's a pasuk, which is an unbelievable pasuk. We'll go straight to it. Why do all these things happen to you? Look at Mem Zayin, source number 947. Why do all these things happen to you? Because you didn't serve Hashem? Why? Not because you didn't serve Hashem. Because you didn't serve Hashem? Besimcha. Says in this, the Ozma Nitivot Shalom as follows. He says, the Torah should have said, why do all the klalot happen to you, the curses? Because you didn't keep the mitzvot? No, it doesn't say that. You didn't keep the mitzvot? Besimcha. Says in Tivot Shalom, because it all begins in the head. Listen to this chiddush. If you think you live in a world of curse, then you do. Then all the curses, uvah alecha kol haklalot ha'ele, they will all come to you. You know the root of all curses? The root of all curses is to think that you live in a world of curse. And if you think you do, you do. And if you serve Hashem where you can only see the cup half full, and you can only see that everyone's out to get you, and you can't find your place, if that's how you serve Hashem, then guess what? That is the world you live in. And the root of all curse is that you think you live in a world of curse. Tachat asher avat Hashem lekecha b'simcha. You couldn't see the world of brocha and abundance, and guess what? That's the world you live in. Tremendous, tremendous chiddush. And may we all, this Rosh Hashanah, focus on the Rosh, focus on lishmoa, to hear, to listen, to understand, to internalize, and to recalibrate and rethink. It's time for big thinking. It's time for how we lead our lives, not manage our lives. We've got tonight and all the way through to Yom Kippur to think of every detail of sin and realigning. But Rosh Hashanah is the time to just step out and say, let's look at the last year and the last 5 years. It's the collective decisions of how we decided to guide our lives which have brought us to where we are. We can rethink, recalibrate, and reorganize our mindset and re-examine the course of our lives. Begadol, maybe that paradigm shift, that thought process, as a man thinketh, will be able to create for ourselves a different reality and therefore a different world in action and a different world for ourselves this coming year. Shavuot Tov and Shana Tova.
Thank you so much, Rav Doron, for opportunities to work with you during the year. This is another official welcome to you. Thanks
thank
for
you.
The early input this year from before. Appreciate it. Where is it? Is Shlomo here? There you go. Should I thank you to Shlomo and Sharon, who's here somewhere for sort of, yeah, I got Shlomo. For having us here tonight, and thank you, Yeshvach, everybody, for coming. I think we had a lot to think about from all the shiurim, all three of them. And Bezrat Hashem, hopefully before Yom Kippur, we'll have another opportunity to do another one of these at some point. Check the groups for details, and hopefully whoever's around can come. See you in the Chasim Atom, whatever.